first song is As We Gather. Based upon the scripture passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, I looked it up. I'm going to read it for you. This is in the Amplified Version. It says, "He has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. He has also planted eternity, a sense of divine purpose in the human heart, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God." And so God's made everything appropriate for his time. We don't always understand it, do we? But by faith, we look to his promises in his time.
Jesus Christ.
First of all, we want to welcome any guest here today. If you're here for the first time, would you raise your hand good and high? If you're here and you've never been here before, or you haven't been here in a long time, all right, let's welcome Roger. Who's your guest? Who's your guest?
This guy I work with, Brandon. I met him at WW. I guess he's from here, so we got a lot in common. And I just love him. I'm glad he's here with us.
All right, welcome, Brandon. Now, I saw someone else had their hand up, right? A few more songs. Before we sing, I'm just going to ask you to be neighborly and turn around and wave and say hello to folks. Stay right where you are, though, okay? This is having to substitute. Stay right where you are, Roger. Don't you move a muscle. We got to watch Roger around here. He will sneak up and give you a hug. I went over to Okeechobee. Roger had asked me to have lunch with him. And his son, Arthur, who's gotten to be a big lad, was there. But Roger didn't tell his son, Arthur, that we were having lunch together. And his son jumped out and just gave me a bear hug. And another.
No, too late.
All right, let's sing this song, It Is Well. It is well with my soul. Jesus has done for us. Amen. Good singing. Please be seated. And we are going to go ahead and just turn it over to Pedro and ask him to preach the word to us this morning.
Hey, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's a great blessing to be here once again, praising the Lord, singing praise God, praise God, praise God. And that's something we're going to be doing for eternity, amen?
Amen,
throughout eternity. So it's something that we need to be looking forward to. So God is really good. Like Bruce was saying yesterday, last night, rather, we finally were able to meet again at the fellowship hall. As the Spanish ministry, we had been doing the live streaming on Facebook, but you know, that kind of gets old after a while. It's not the same thing as being together in a place like this, you know, the communion of the saints, the fellowship that is so important. And a lot of the brothers and sisters in our congregation were looking forward to that. So I want to give thanks to God for last night's service, and we had a pretty good turnout. We had almost like 40, 42 people, including children, and we had a couple of visitors as well. And one visitor was saying pretty much the same thing I'm saying, you know, that it's not the same thing as watching services online. It's a great thing, you know, don't get me wrong. It's a great thing because the gospel is being preached. The message is being shared, but it's not the same thing. You and I know that. So it was really good. And we also had communion. We had communion after, what, so many months, maybe 4 or 5 months. And we were able to use those little high tech, as Bruce called them, you know. Hey, it's going to take you 20 minutes, I tell you. It took me 21 to figure it out. I think I peeled it wrong at first, you know, but I was finally able to get it. But I just wanted to tell you, Bruce, that the congregation was very pleased with that, and on average, they give you a 5 stars on that. good. I say great reviews on that. So I think it's something that you and I can be looking forward to next week, communion service. You know, it is so important that the church does that on a frequent basis, whether it is on a quarterly basis, monthly basis. I think some churches do it on a weekly basis, you know, but I think the important is to do it frequently, as I was telling the church last night, because we are being reminded of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, amen? His body being broken and his blood being shed for your sins and my sins as well. You know, I'd be the first one there on that list. So praise God for that. Amen. So this morning, church, I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles if you brought them. If not, you know, I think Eddie could be pulling those verses on the screens back here. But I like to read from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 14. Verses 32-42. I'm going to be revisiting this, or rather, God is going to be revisiting this scripture, you know, because as Bruce mentioned yesterday, the Lord spoke to us as men at the breakfast, at the men's meeting. So there is so much here in scripture that we could probably, again, spend a whole eternity going through the Bible. And I think we will. Like I was telling the church yesterday, that my words will go away. You know, there's a saying in Spanish that words go with the wind. Kind of goes like that in Spanish, you know. But Jesus' words remain forever, throughout eternity. Amen?
Amen?
You know, you and I might have important stuff to say, you know, and that's good. It's all good. But Jesus' word, His word, God's word, remains forever and ever. So Be looking forward to that as well, you know, as we spend eternity going through the Word, you know, and learning something new, getting to know God on a personal basis. So reading from the new, Living Translation, it says, verse 32 to 42, they went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, "Sit here while I go and pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little farther and fell to the ground. He prayed that, if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned and found the disciples asleep. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left them again and prayed the same prayer as before. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't know what to say. When he returned to them the third time, he said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But no, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here." Let's pray, church. Father God, I just want to thank you this morning for this opportunity to be your messenger, to be your mouthpiece. And most important of all, Father, I just thank you for your word, your precious word, God, that will remain forever, Lord God. Thank you, Father, because this word can bring healing to our lives, Father, can bring healing to our families, to our church. This word, Father God, we need it in our nation today, Lord, Father God, and I just want to thank you for that, Father. Thank you for our Bibles. Thank you for the opportunity to have so much at our disposal, God, for this building, for the instruments, everything, Lord God, for this microphone, Father God. I just think about the churches, Lord, in Nicaragua and Guatemala who wish they could have a microphone, Lord, and some of them have a beat-up speaker, Lord, or a system, and yet they praise you and worship you, Lord, and I just want to thank you, Lord, for the abundance in our nation, God. You've blessed us abundantly, Lord God, and I just ask you to help us to always be good stewards of what you give us, Father God, our jobs, our families, our economy, everything, God, and we just want to pray once again for our president, Lord, and our vice president as well, as he grieves this morning, Father God, him and his family. Father God, Pastor Bruce reminded us that we must pray for those in leadership if we want to have peace and live in peace, God. And so we pray for him. We pray for leaders in our community, for the elections coming up, Lord God, for our state government, Lord, Father. I pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So God is good. Amen. So here, church, we read about an account when Jesus went to a place, but we read about a Jesus who happens to be in a very difficult situation. He happens to be facing the greatest challenge in his ministry, the greatest challenge in his personal life. Yes, I'm talking about Jesus, God himself, because as you and I know, Jesus was God, Jesus is God, and Jesus will forever be God. That is something that perhaps we're not able to wrap our minds around that fact, that truth, but it's the reality. You know, Jesus is God. Him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are one. Amen? Amen. 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 So we have Jesus here, and he is distressed. He is in anguish, and he takes his disciples. He's 11 disciples, because from what I read, Judas was not here, the betrayer. And so he takes his disciples, but from his disciples, he takes the closest three from this core group. He takes Peter, James, and John. He takes this trio and he takes them to that place where he tells them, sit here while I go and pray. Remember, he's facing a very difficult situation and he's about to face the greatest ordeal in his life as Lord and Savior. Amen. And so he tells them in Matthew 26, 36 from the New Living Translation, he tells them, sit here while I go over there to pray. He takes them to, he goes to a distance of maybe 14, 15 feet away, a distance where they could see them. There's another version that reads a stone's throw distance, you know. So he didn't go far. He didn't go at a great distance. He went to a place where they could see him pray because he didn't go there to waste his time. Neither his disciples. He went there to pray, and he wanted them to see exactly what he was going to do. He was setting an example for the disciples as he expects us to pray. We talked about that yesterday at the men's meeting about the importance of prayer. I think a lot of you had needs this morning and prayer requests, and that's good. That's a great thing because we can take them before the Lord in prayer. Remember that prayer, church, means having a conversation with God, just like a husband has a conversation with his wife and vice versa, or parents have conversation with their kids, you know, not a monologue, but a dialogue, amen, something that is two-way. You talk and the person listens and vice versa. So that's what prayer means. If I was to define prayer or pray, he went there to pray. He went there to supplicate. He went there to beg, literally beg before the Father. Because remember, he was about to face the greatest ordeal, the greatest challenge in his life. He meant business when he went there to pray and not do anything else. You know, God means business with us. We're here because he wants us to be here this morning. He's brought us here this morning. We're not here because of chance or because of a coincidence or because we didn't have anything else to do. You know, well, some of us might think that, but God works, amen, in mysterious ways. And he's brought us to church this morning because our lives are precious to him. We matter to God, amen. Yeah. We're very important to the Lord, and we're going to see about that a little bit further. He cares for our soul. He cares for your soul, and he wants you to hear his word. Remember, his word will never pass. Everything else will pass. Everything else that you see in this world, things that you watch on TV, you know, TV series, TV movies, fads come and go, fashions come and go, and then unfortunately some of them come back again. Y'all know what I'm talking about this morning, huh? Amen? But his word will never pass. Thank you, Jesus, for that. So he took him to that place because he was in distress. In fact, verse 34 says that his soul was crushed. I mean, check this word out. It was crushed. It was literally being crushed. He felt like his soul was being devastated, but with grief, to the point that he felt like dying. He said it, he became deeply troubled and distressed. And the neat thing about those two words, church, those two I don't know if I call them adjectives, or I don't know what's the grammar definition for those two words, but trouble in this sense means scared, frightened, terrified. And I'm talking about Jesus. He was terrified. He was scared. He was frightened. The word says is here. And he was distressed. He was depressed. He felt disturbed. And he had a heavy heart on him. Jesus, yes, Jesus. Have you ever felt like that before? Yes. I think we've gone through some type of anguish in the past. We've gone through some type of grief in the past. Maybe some of us are grieving at this moment. Maybe you and I know someone who's grieving or going through a tough situation, through a very difficult situation. I've heard some of you mention folks and relatives that are going through a very difficult time at this moment. They're probably scared, frightened, and terrified. Well, Jesus felt that way, the same way, I would say, this morning. Yes, the Lord and Savior, the creator of the world, the creator of the universe, the heavens. Because we see the humanity of Jesus at that point. We see the human aspect of Jesus. You see, church, when we think about Jesus, maybe most of the time, the majority of us think of him as only God. And that is right, you know. Don't get me wrong. He was God. He is God. He is divine. But there was also a human aspect to the Lord, to the point that he felt that way. Like I asked you just a few moments ago, we felt like that at times. Maybe we're going through a tough and difficult situation. Well, God says it's okay to feel like that, you know. Jesus said it's all right to feel that way, to feel afraid. It's okay to be afraid, but it's not okay to live in fear. That's a whole different thing. It's okay to feel unsure and insecure at times, because we see a Jesus who was feeling insecure at this moment. But it's not okay to be living in insecurity 24/7. Y'all heard me, church? Amen. 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 So that's what Jesus wants us to see right off the bat, right at this moment, that it was okay to feel that way. It's okay to cry at times. It's okay to grieve. Sometimes, you know, when we see people grieving, I ran into a fellow the other day at the post office who I hadn't seen in months, maybe years, perhaps, and he used to come to our church on Saturday nights. You know, and we exchanged pleasantries and stuff, and I asked him how his family was. And he says, "Haven't you heard?" No, I haven't heard. My wife passed away. What do you mean she passed away? And I'm talking about a lady in her 50s, you know, and he's about 50 something too. She passed away, and they both have a teenager son. He's 18 or 19. Yeah, she passed away, Pastor, because of the COVID, you know, the COVID got to her. And I stood there for a moment, you know, and I just wanted to tell him, don't grieve, brother. It's going to be all right. Don't cry. And I could tell his tears were coming out, but I felt and I sensed the Holy Spirit tell me, just hush. Just hush and stand there for a moment, you know. And then all I could say was like, God, what do I do? What do I do? But thank God for his Holy Spirit, amen. And the only thing I could think of was like, brother, let me pray with you right now so that God can give you the strength to go on and continue. And that it's okay to cry. It's okay to grieve, because Jesus grieved right before he went to the cross. He was in pain right before he went to his death. And praise God, you know, we prayed, and hopefully he'll be coming to church once again. He wasn't able to make it to the service last night, but he wants to come back. You know, that's God at work. You never know who you're going to run into. Amen. But we have to be prepared. We have to be prayed up, church, and we have to be ready and let the Holy Spirit have his will in us. Amen. So Jesus was there in that situation. And you know what he did? Because he was grieving and he was literally in pain, he asked his companions to go with him, his disciples, his closest friends, John, Peter, and James. He asked them to go with him, not to watch him, not to observe him, not to waste their time, but to help him pray. Help him pray and watch. Help him to be vigilant and observant, and also pray for the needs that he was facing, he was having at that moment. You know, it's okay that when we grieve as Christians, when we're going through a very difficult situation, church, it's okay to seek the help of others, you know? It's okay to seek the help of other Christians. It's okay to pick up your phone and call the pastor, not him only, you know, because it's not his duty only, you know? It's okay to pick up the phone and call somebody. Call your friend. Call your brother and sister in Christ. Text them a message. Tell them, hey, I need help. I need prayer. I need you to back me up with this that I'm facing at this moment. You know, you don't have to go into details if you don't need to. I mean, if you're a brother in Christ, call another brother in Christ. If you're a sister, call a sister. Call someone. get together with someone and pray and seek the Lord. You know, we have a list, and I looked at this yesterday as I was getting a printout in the office, you know, but here's a list of people who could use a word of encouragement, church. Have y'all seen this list, this here? Yeah? Here's a list of a couple of people that you and I could text and call and tell them, hey, sister, I'm with you. Hey, brother, I don't know what you're going through, but I got your back. I'm praying for you. I'm with you. Can I come over and read the scriptures? Share the word with you. Remember, the word is eternal, huh? Amen? There's someone here that we could call and encourage. I see a lot of empty seats, you know, maybe some folks having come back from up north, perhaps. What about the rest, I wonder? Are they afraid? It's okay to be afraid, remember, but it's not okay to live in fear. Could they use a word from God? I think so, definitely. They could. We can always be on the lookout when we go out and do our shopping or go to the post office or when we go to work. Be on the lookout for someone who might need a word of prayer. That's what the Bible says. You and I must have a seasoned word to share with someone who needs from God. A life-living word, life-giving word, a life-saver, you know, and I'm talking about eternal life because our eternity is at stake. A lot of people's eternity is at stake. So then Jesus took his fellow disciples to pray with him. And this is the challenge he was facing. He says that if it were possible, God, this awful hour awaiting me might pass me by. He knew he was going to go to the cross and die for our sins. He was going to die a shameful death. You know, a similar cross like we have here on the back. I wouldn't say similar, of course, you know, but that reminds us of what Jesus had to face, of what Jesus had to go through. That method of execution which was so barbaric, savage, and painful. And he was asking the Father, God, if it be possible, don't let me die this way. Let it happen another way, perhaps, Lord God. Don't let me go through that shame. Don't let them take my tunics, my clothing, and then cast lots upon them. Don't let them hit me on the face and pull out my beard, which is something they did according to the Gospels. I don't want to go through that, Lord. I think we all been in a situation like that, amen? God, I don't want to go through this, Lord God. Why am I going through this at this moment? Why is this happening to me right now? What did I do to deserve this? Have you ever wondered that? Or is it just me? I know, I think we all have. If we're walking with Christ, I think we've all faced a situation like that. If not, guess what? I've got news for you. You're going to be facing something like that in the future. If you call yourself a Christian or a Christ follower, a disciple, these were disciples or Christ followers. So Jesus was praying, you know, that God would give him an alternative, another option. I can see Jesus. I can picture the Lord maybe saying to the Father, Lord God, if I could just, you know, go up to heaven and finish this once for all. Or maybe he was thinking about backing out. Maybe he was thinking, hey, this is not what I signed up for. I knew I had to pay for the sins of the world, but this way? And we can all, you know, just picture and imagine and speculate, you know, to a point, to a certain degree, of what was crossing the mind of Jesus at that moment. But he was hoping that his disciples had his back at that very moment. At the neediest point in his ministry. The Bible says that he went back to them and he found them what? Sleeping. They were sleeping. And he woke them up and he says, couldn't you all watch with me even 1 hour? Come on, guys, I brought you out here to pray with me, to back me up. Please be vigilant and stay awake and pray, because temptation is at your doorstep. Be vigilant so that you will not give in to temptation. Be ready, be aware. And you know, Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said that they needed to pray so they wouldn't give in to temptation. Remember what we said about him backing out? Maybe he was thinking about the moment when he was fasting and that lying devil appeared to him. Remember that account in the Gospels, and told him, hey, Jesus, if you would only bow down and worship me, you see all these kingdoms, you see all this wealth, you see all that great nation called the United States with all its power and wealth, yeah, it's going to be yours. That's all you have to do. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to die. You don't have to go through that shame, Jesus. All you have to do is just acknowledge me as your Lord. Temptation. You see, there's nothing wrong with being tempted, church. It's okay to be tempted. In fact, God expects us to be tempted. Jesus was tempted at this moment, but he never sinned. Praise God. There was never sin found in Jesus. That's the difference between him and I. Amen. And that's why I need to pray and be vigilant, because temptation is always at my doorstep, knocking. Hey, let me in. Let me in. Come on, Pedro. And I need to pray. And I need to be observant. Because if I don't do that, if we don't do that, church, then we'll give in to sin. That's the problem. And so he tells the disciples, pray and watch so you will not give in to temptation, because the Spirit is willing. I know you want to pray. I know it's in you to pray. If not, y'all wouldn't be here with me right now. I know it's in you to be here, in your spirit, to be here in church this morning. But sometimes we're in church and our mind is somewhere else, huh? Whatever it is, you know what it is at times, you know. Hey, and that includes me too, of course. Yeah. The Spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The flesh is weak. The flesh wants to do its own thing. And that's why Jesus tells his disciples to pray, to be observant. That's why Jesus is telling the church this morning to be prayed up. And when you find yourself in a difficult situation, find others so they can help you pray and stay prayed up. And stay vigilant. And watch out for temptation. But you know, the word says that when he went back again, what happened? Jesus left them again and prayed the same prayer as before, verse 39. And when he returned to them again, he found them prayed up. Yeah, I wish. He found them fasting and praising God. He found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. They were so embarrassed that they didn't know what to say to him. It's Peter's fault. You know, his big mouth. And, hey, where's Jesus? Where did he go off to? You know, let's all take a nap. He found them sleeping, church. So, what did Jesus do? He went back to prayer. You know what's that saying to us this morning, church? That there will be times when you and I will feel abandoned ourselves. There will be a time when you will feel lonely in your distress, in your anguish, when your son is in the hospital, when a relative is going through a tough situation, when we lose a loved one. Where's everybody else at this moment, God, when I need them? Have you ever felt like that before? Where is God in this? I've had people ask me that, you know, especially during this time of pandemic, Pastor, where is God in all this? There's a pastor here in town, by the way. He's a Spanish-speaking pastor. He's a Spanish ministry pastor here in town. His name is Ephraim. And he's a young guy. He's what, maybe 40, 41? I say he's young because he's younger than me. He's young, you know. And what? Guess what, church? He's married and he's got three kids, a very thriving ministry here in town. And about a month and a half ago, he got the COVID. And he was hospitalized for about a month and a half. He thought he was going to die. His left lung had collapsed. And they had to pump something in it into his lung to inflate it and put a type of sealant. And he describes the whole ordeal as something painful, you know. So, so very painful. And he was sharing his testimony, and he was saying that there was a moment in which he asked himself, where is God in all this? Lord God, I serve you. I've tried to do the best that I could to be an example for my family and to the community and to the church. But why is this happening to me? Where is everyone at this moment? You know, there are going to be times when you and I are going to feel like that. We're going to find ourselves in Gethsemane, in a place called Gethsemane. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, Jesus went to that place called Gethsemane. And he didn't go there by chance. He didn't go there because God the Father said, you know what, Jesus, I want you to go there because it's a pretty garden. And I want you to be there for a while. No. He went there with a purpose. Because God had something for Jesus at Gethsemane. You see, in Gethsemane was the place where they would take the olives from the trees. You know, it was full of olive trees. And they would take the olives and crush them using a press, an oil press. By the way, Gethsemane means oil press. And maybe you've seen these oil presses online. You can look them up, you know, on Google. You know, you can Google up oil press from New Testament times, you know. And this, it's this huge round rock that which they would pull and over the olives, and it would crush them totally in order to get that oil. You know, that olive oil is good, huh? And that was the purpose for that. It was an olive oil press. And Jesus found himself in Gethsemane. And you and I are going to find ourselves in a place like that, especially when we go through a rough time, a tough situation, because it's the place where God will crush us to get rid of our impurities. It's the place where God is going to crush us. Remember what Jesus said? He said, my soul is crushed, because he was being crushed at that very moment, at that very place. And it's something you and I are going to have to go through at times, because it's going to be the place where also God will crush us to get out the best of us. Jesus was there and he was being crushed, and he felt abandoned at that very moment. I think another account of the gospel says that he was so in distress, he felt so depressed and disturbed, and he was so frightened and terrified that he was sweating blood, actually, literally blood. And you know, that's a medical condition, church. That's a medical condition that's been proven in some folks that are going through a very, they're living in a very difficult situation, and they're so distressed, and their anguish is so great that they begin to sweat blood. And that's what happened to the master. He was being crushed literally at that very moment, and he felt abandoned, just like you and I are going to feel like that at times. But you know what? The Bible says in Luke 22:43, that an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. Gave him the strength that he needed. Even though at times you and I are going to feel abandoned, we're not alone in this, church. Because God is going to send either an angel or his Holy Spirit, which dwells in us, or Jesus himself, who lives in our hearts, is going to be there with us and for us. He's going to be backing us up. Even though it seems, remember, it might seem as if no one is praying for us. But guess what? I think someone is always praying for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I felt like that at times, you know. And at that moment, Pastor Bruce has called. Hey, how y'all doing? Oh, man. Exactly who I wanted to hear. Hasn't that happened to you? Or I have had a friend who called me from long distance, you know, just to check up on me. Hey, Pedro, how you doing? Just wanted to see how you and Lillian and the little one are doing. We're praying for you. I haven't forgotten about you. Jesus loves you. Here, remember what I was saying earlier about picking up this little list here? And calling someone or texting someone, and they get that message out of the blue. Who is this? God loves you. Pastor said it last week, you know, reminding us of that song. Don't worry, be happy. God's in control. He's got it. He's got our back. An angel was sent to give him the spiritual strength that he needed at that very moment, because God the Father knew that the temptation that Jesus was facing was so overwhelming. Whoa, can you imagine being in his place? I know I would have backed out just like that. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not going to. Oh, no, there's no way I'm going to do that. No way I would do that. But Jesus received the strength that he needed to continue until the end. You and I can receive that same strength from God so that we continue and finish this race. I can do all things in Christ who strengtheneth me, Paul would say, the apostle who would go on to say and who would go on to testify how he had suffered for the gospel. He was beaten, he was robbed, he was in prison, but he made it all the way to the end. Amen. He finished the race, he said. You and I can finish the race too. Doesn't matter if there's a pandemic, if there's this, there's that. God is in control, church. Yes, yes. And so when that happened to Jesus, he received the strength he needed so that he continued on till the end. And you know what? The Bible says that when he returned to them, he told them, well, he found them sleeping. You know, he says, go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But no. But another version says, enough. Enough what? You know what he was trying to say? I think the King James Version reads that. It says, enough. Enough. It's sufficient. It is enough, he says. And what he was trying to say is that I have received sufficiently when he said enough. Listen to this, church. I have received sufficiently. Get up. What was he trying to say when he said, I have received sufficiently? That he had received what he needed from God. That he had received the answer that he was hoping from God. Although it was not what he wanted. But he knew it was the will of the Father. And that the Father was going to be with him all the way to the end. I have received, it says, I have received what I needed. The strength that I needed. And there's going to be a point and a moment in our lives when you and I are going to be able to say that when we find ourselves in Gethsemane. What's going to be our Gethsemane? I don't know, church. I don't know. Maybe you're going through that at this very moment. But your Gethsemane is going to be very different than mine. But it's still going to be a Gethsemane, right? It's going to be something that God is going to use to crush us. Ooh, that sounds scary. Brother Pedro, Pastor. Hey, it's not as scary as the devil destroying us, huh? Because that's what Jesus said. Jesus said the devil came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. God doesn't destroy. He will crush us. He will crush us so he can get the best of us. So when Jesus got up and he told them, it is enough, you know, let's go. I'm ready. I am ready for whatever the Father has for me. I am ready. Come on, God. Do your willing me. I am ready to become an offering for you. What kind of an offering, church? An offering for the sins of the world. a sin offering, the maximum sin offering, the best sin offering, the only sin offering that you and I needed and need and that the world needs. You know why our nation is in this condition as we speak right now? There's so much convulsion as we speak. I saw something the other day on Facebook, and it made me think, you know, about how true it is. It said something about they're not allowing, they never allow, or if it said something like this. It was a picture, you know, of an inmate reading a Bible, and it said, they do allow Bibles in prison, but if they would allow Bibles in our public school system, then maybe there wouldn't be any need for prisons. Hey, that made a lot of sense, you know. Our nation needs Jesus. Our nation needs God. Our leaders need God, you know. Our families, our communities, they need to hear about this sin offering, the best sin offering there is, that Jesus died on the cross, that he didn't care about the shame that he was going to go through, that he was going to die the death of a criminal, because he died between two criminals. You know, the other day, Josiah, my son, my 3.5-year-old Josiah, he was reading this picture, Bible picture book, and we got to the story where Jesus died on the cross, and this is for kids, you know. This is a Bible picture Bible for kids, and you can see two crosses and one big cross in the middle, you know. And you kind of see like a shadow of it, you know, on a mountain, on Calvary. And Josiah pointed it out, and he says, look, Daddy, that's Jesus in the middle. He says, whoa, I said, praise you, Jesus. That's Jesus in the middle? Yes, he said. And who are these two to the side of Jesus? Those are very bad men, he says, the bad guys. Yes, he was understanding the gospel. He was understanding that Jesus is good, he was good, and the guys hanging on the crosses next to him were bad. So what I got from that message was that the two guys on the side hanging deserved what they had, what they got, but Jesus didn't deserve it. Yet he went on. He continued to go to the cross because he was the offering, the maximum offering for God. You know why we have to go, why we have to be in Gethsemane Church? So we can present ourselves as a maximum, as the best offering for God, so that God can use us. God is going to crush us and get that stuff that doesn't please him out of our system, out of our lives. And he's also going to get the best of us. He's going to get those hurts that we've dragged for so long in our lives. Some of us have been hurt. Amen. I think we're all been damaged. I was seeing my son. I was looking at my son. And I pray for him, you know. Because I was damaged goods. Yes, yes. I was damaged goods when I came to Christ. I wasn't perfect. I was flawed. And I'm still flawed. But I had hurts that were getting between me and God. Painful stuff that I went through in my childhood. And in my teenage years, so much stuff that, church, I could spend a whole afternoon telling you about all the stuff that I've seen. All the wicked and evil stuff. And how that hurt me. But guess what, you know, God took me to Gethsemane. He said, I'm going to get this stuff out of you so I can get the best out of you as well. And I can present you as the maximum, as the best offering for God the Father. Praise God for that. He's going to do that in us as well. Are we ready to be offered up to God? Are we ready to present ourselves as the maximum, as the living sacrifice, as Romans 12:1 reads? It says, Paul, remember, Paul. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. You, yourself, let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Your body, your life, your heart, everything about you, your mind, your spirit. May it be a living sacrifice, holy to God. The kind that he will find acceptable. Yes, I accept this. This is truly the way to worship him. That church can only happen when we find ourselves in Gethsemane. So there's nothing wrong to be in Gethsemane. There's nothing wrong with grieving. There's nothing wrong when we cry, when we're in pain, when we're facing financial hardship, when we've lost a loved one. There's nothing wrong with that in the situation in itself, because God is going to glorify himself in you. All things work for good to those who love Christ Jesus. Paul said it. Church, Paul said it. You know, to wrap this up, it says that Peter went on to Gethsemane. Remember Peter, the big talker, the big mouth? Oh, no, Lord. No, no, I'm going to be with you all the way to the end. You see all these guys here? All these 11 guys, they're all cowards. They're all chickens. They're all going to chicken out when the time comes. You watch, Lord. You're telling me that, Peter? Jesus said, you're going to deny me. What? Me? Yes, Peter, and not only once. Not only twice. Three times. Nah. Not me. And guess what, church? He went on to Gethsemane. The Bible says that when the rooster crowed, oh, he heard that. And he remembered the words of the master. And he saw the master being even crushed to be offered up as a sin offering for himself. For Peter, that is, you know. And he cried bitterly. He remembered that. Ooh, I wouldn't want to be in Peter's place at that. Oh, no, no. But we're going to be in a similar situation, though. But guess what, church? Peter went on to become an apostle and a leader of the church. We find him later on, you know, in the book of Acts, you know, just standing up and preaching the first sermon. And 5,000, Pastor, 5,000 got saved. 3,000 the first time, right? And then 4,000, something like that. 3,000 got saved with the message that Peter had from the Lord. Because he was no longer Peter. He had been to Gethsemane. And God had glorified himself. Let us allow God to take us to Gethsemane. It's okay to be there. So that he may glorify himself in us. Pastor Bruce, would you give an invitation this morning, please? Thank you. Thank you, sir.